live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 294. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. We join momentarily by my man, Jonathan Birdsong. Good show for you this evening, folks. We've got college basketball, the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight on the road to the Final Four. We've got that talking this evening. We've got plenty to talk about tonight. We've got college basketball. We've got the NBA. We've got some quick hitters, the NFL news and notes. Myself and Jonathan have been live several times this weekend as well already. We'll talk that and more. We've got the NBA, the association, along with college basketball. Can't start showing that my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, man. Am I coming in loud and clear, or am I coming in a little echo?
No, you are good. You're sounding clear right now.
Sweet, man. Sweet, man. You know, I know the last couple of episodes, man, we had some technical difficulties with this audio, man, and I had some people come look at my audio stuff over here today, man, make sure that we were fine-tuning, man. So I'm glad we were good on that, man. But, like, nah, man, it's good to be back on, dude. Brandon, it feels like we were just on yesterday, man, but there's so much stuff that happened in between episodes since last we spoke, whether it's been the tournament, you know what I'm saying, the March Madness tournament, or the, even in the NIT, and then things, you know what I'm saying, that cuts around that basketball front, man. I do. So, like, Brandon, I know we'll be running basketball heavy tonight because I know I kind of constantly say about the NBA, but, like, dude, where are you going to start at, man? Because we got a lot to get in a short time to get there.
Yeah, let's dive right in. Let's talk college basketball, John, the NCAA tournament. We are at the Sweet 16. We've got the Sweet 16. I just put my rankings out yesterday, my Sweet 16 rankings. If you look at the brackets, John, we've got in the East, UConn, number one seed against San Diego State, the five. We've got Illinois versus Iowa State up there. Then you got North Carolina and Alabama in the West, Clemson. Surprise Clemson in Arizona, and then we've got Houston and Duke, NC State, Marquette, Purdue, and Gonzaga, Creighton, and Tennessee. My rankings, John, top four are all the number ones, UConn, Purdue, Houston, and North Carolina. And then I've got Arizona, Tennessee, Marquette, and Iowa State. Then I've got Duke, Alabama, Illinois, and Creighton, and then Gonzaga, San Diego State, Clemson, and NC State. And I had people chirp me. San Diego State said, you know, the Aztecs beat Gonzaga at third place this season, right? The game wasn't even particularly close. I said, correct, but the Zags are a different time than they were when they played you at San Diego State early in the year. It's not the same Gonzaga team. And I know Matt Painter and the Boilermakers aren't expecting the same Gonzaga team that they placed in the Maui Classic. So let's talk Boilermakers. Right. Boilermakers had a great run, great two wins, dominating. I think the only team that maybe had dominating performances better than them would be UConn. But Boilermakers look good. They play Friday night, 7:27 up in Detroit against Gonzaga for a right to the Elite Eight. The Boilers are right where they need to be. Players are stepping up. Heidi's playing well, stepping up. Trey Kaufman-Wren, we didn't talk about on the live the other night. I was really impressed with Trey Kaufman-Wren, and I told Coach Brantley that in a text message. After the game, I was really impressed with Trey, and he said he's been waiting his whole life for those type of moments to be able to go in and do that. Wow. So that's great for what Trey's doing. Fletcher Lawyer's playing well. John, you need those role players. Mason Gillis playing well as well. The Boilermakers are hitting that three ball right now. And if they can continue that, John, they've got a road right there, clear path to the Final Four and more.
Yeah, clear path to the Final Four. You like how that bracket, if you're a Purdue fan, you like how that bracket is kind of shaping up. It's kind of shaping up where it's going to potentially be, if they do get past Gonzaga, it could potentially be a rematch from when they, you know, say, met Tennessee, you know, say, a couple years ago. That's kind of how I see things, man. But, like, no, man, I want to take a couple steps back, Brandon, before we go. Everything that you said, I'll stamp 100%, man. You also forget about Lance Jones, who's kind of been a definite difference maker for Purdue. So, but I want to take a step back, man. Like, there's a lot of, like, malaise out here, you know what I'm saying, where people I'm not saying you got to believe in it totally, but you see what it can be. You know what I'm saying? They beat at Grambling State. However you gave Grambling State. Grambling State made it to the tournament. They beat that. They won the conference. And they played their playing game, and they, you know what I'm saying, played Purdue. You know what I'm saying? The second team they played was Utah State. You know, again, dangerous team that's kind of put overnight, considering last year's team, you know, say last year's coach is playing is somewhere else, and this year's coach is somewhere else, too. But, again, a very dangerous Utah State team, Mountain West team, you know, saying that Purdue handled mightily. So you can't ignore those factors, you know what I'm saying, at all. So Purdue, you know what I'm saying, again, I get it, you know what I'm saying, past is still, you know, and that's not fair, but the past is still some of the people's, you know, forefront of their mind. So here we are. I like Purdue's chances, like I said, to get out of that particular bracket the way things have kind of broken down for them. But again, let's start with the, like, you know what I'm saying, come on, man. Brandon, what basketball program in the state of Indiana is higher outside of, you know, say Indiana State and the NIT? I know we get past that. What basketball program is like all eyes on in the state of Indiana besides Purdue? You know what I'm saying? That's it. I mean, for all the right reasons possible. You know what I'm saying? They're comparing Matt Painter to Bob Knight already. I mean, you know, this is the comments and how he steps up ahead of the meeting. Now he's got, you know what I'm saying? They're already kind of so. All they got to do, I'm not saying all they got to do, because still a task is hard, you know what I'm saying, winning, you know what I'm saying, a couple more games. But all they got to do is get the hard work. And then again, and then like I said, all that kind of goes away, or it should go away. But, like, man, to get to a Sweet 16, to be in this spot, and like I said, to be, you know what I'm saying, all the, to be, so, like, Brandon, I give them a better chance to double up Gonzaga again. You know what I'm saying? They beat Gonzaga. The last three seasons they played them, Zach Edey, you know, the two conference, at least on the two side, have been Zach Edey and Coach Painter. And then, you know, on the Gonzaga side, it's been, you know what I'm saying, ever change. Drew Timmy ain't here no more, and now it's Jalen Suggs. But again, when those players were with Gonzaga, when Purdue, you know what I'm saying, facing them, Purdue beat them. So they have a lesser, Brandon, that's how I kind of look at it. They have great quality players in Gonzaga, but yes, sir.
Are you close to your mic?
Yeah. Wow. We have it.
It just sounds like you're like. It just sounds like it's far away.
No, I'm right.
Okay.
That's weird, dude.
But no, man, that's what it is.
That's better. Now you sound good.
No, that's what it is, man. Like, I think this is a lesser Gonzaga team that the Purdue, you know what I'm saying, the Boilermakers have faced, and I feel confident. I'm not saying they should go in there cocky. You know what I mean? Gonzaga zip tie anybody. You know what I mean? They got some pros on that team, but I don't think they can beat Purdue.
Okay. I'm expecting a collision course. I'd love to see UConn and Illinois. I think Illinois could muck it up with UConn a little bit. I do give Hurley the benefit of the doubt that he's trying to try the underdog role of whiny. Well, the committee
Man.
Should – everything possible, and
yeah.
We got
nah,
it,
man. He can't hide that, bro.
Shut up.
Yeah, he can't hide that, man. Like, and he's a little weird, man, with some of his rituals, man. He hasn't changed his underwear since the Big East tournament started. So, like, his wife carries, like, this portable wash machine where she washes his underwear, the same underwear, every night. It's weird, man.
Yeah, he's just quirky dude trying to do it's us against. But just relax. It's not everybody like that against you.
Nah, UConn is not great. I mean, people respect UConn. It's not like they hate them. You know what I'm saying? This actual team, people are cheering for him. So I don't necessarily get that. He has like a little brother syndrome because he was the lesser talented Hurley brother from a player standpoint. So he's always kind of, he's always shown that. Worn that on the sleeve, man. But like, nah, man, UConn looks. I said on the Epic podcast with, you know what I'm saying, with our friends, you know what I'm saying, with those friends over there, man. I think, you know what I'm saying, the UConn, if they had to play three games against, you pick a G League team out of the middle of the pack, I think they could beat a G League team at least twice. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's how good UConn is.
Yeah, I agree.
Just not to be whiny. I get what you're saying, Brandon. Just not to be whiny about it.
Exactly. I feel like he is. Carolina and Alabama, I am excited for this game. I just don't know if Alabama can play defense. And in this type of game, I can see the North Carolina bigs just owning Alabama. North Carolina's a little more disciplined than Alabama. The spread's like 4.5. I think North Carolina carries this. I think they win it by 7-8 possibly even.
Well, you know, I got North Carolina going through the Final Four, so there's no way. There was nothing that Alabama really showed me outside of what they did in their SEC play versus what they kind of done in this tournament. They almost lost to the second half. I thought they almost lost to College of Charleston. I thought, just because, like you said, the lack of defensive intensity, when a team, like, man, them dudes should be, like, blocking everything and stealing everything, man, if they were locked in. But they're not, man. No, I got North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? And North Carolina just has good outside shooting. Yeah,
totally agree. Clemson, Arizona, John.
Surpriser.
Better time. Surpriser, like you said, exactly. But I think Arizona gets this done pretty easily.
You think, man? I don't know, man. I really wanted to say that the team is more than just PJ Hall and his, you know, all the You know what I mean?
Uh-oh. Cutting out.
What happened?
Your phone's cutting out.
I did? That's crazy.
Yep.
Hold on. Let's go back. I had to move around. Sorry.
Okay.
I had to move around. Sorry. All right. How's that?
Better.
Is that better? Okay. So, like, no, man. I really wanted to, like, learn. I think it's more so that Baylor lost the game because they just they didn't take the game too seriously. I don't, you know, game. It's not like it's on hostage or anything like that. You know, they love them down there. You know, especially being like the 81 championship like the last 5 years. So, but it's just peculiar that that team that probably was thinking more, you know, saying Elite Eight got an early bounce by Clemson. That again, that Clemson team, you know, what I'm saying, was sneaking, you know, saying like a turtle last year, you know, what I'm saying, with the tournament, and now, you know, what I'm saying, they kind of got a dream run. Well, it would be a dream run, but you know, what I'm saying, it's NC State, their conference rival, is kind of taking all the shine. So, right. I don't know, Brandon. I'm not a truster of Arizona. I actually had Arizona losing. Shame on me, right? Shame on me. I had Arizona losing to Nevada, so I wouldn't necessarily be surprised. You know, right. These dudes in Arizona are you know, saying chopping at the bit, NBA level, next talent. You're right, Brandon. They'll be Clemson by 20.
Houston and Duke. I think this is gonna be a great game. I like Duke with the points here. I think you can hang with them. I really do.
What, Brandon?
I do.
That dude's gonna whine.
Whining doesn't do anything. John, Texas A&M had the game plan for Houston. They should have beat them.
Well, they couldn't shoot free throws. They couldn't shoot free throws, man. That's not happening. That's not that. That wasn't their forte.
And
Duke shoot free throws?
I don't think
this is not a super talented Duke team, man. This nitpick, we haven't really nitpicked this Duke team because, like, people, you got China, I got China too. Then people say, man, we go too soft on Duke, Brandon, because they know we used to be Duke fans. Do you agree with that statement? They said we go too soft on Duke, man. And I'm saying if Shire don't get it done, like, this is a good moment for him to be in the Sweet 16. Beating Houston, that would put him in the elite. I mean, in a different level of conversation now, wouldn't it? You know, of seriousness. I don't think this level of Duke team is – who's the star, Brandon? Like, where's the – I'm not saying, you know what I mean, I'm saying who is the star? You know what I'm saying? It almost feels like a Butler team. And that's not disrespect to Butler. I'm just saying there's no overall Zion Williamson here that's going to, like, take over a game for him. I got the Filipowski kid is good. He's, you know what I'm saying, I think he's better from a center, like, in the NBA projection-wise, he's better than the Ware kid from IU. But – like, I like the guard play of Houston, and I think Kelvin Sampson has the team. You know what I'm saying? They'll bounce back from that close game ahead. And I like Houston.
Okay. NC State Marquette. I think the road has probably come to an end for NC State. I like Marquette.
It should have came in for them against Oakland. if they could open, knew how to, you know, say knew what they want to do on offense. Nah, man, Marquette weathered the storm against Colorado. They also had another close against West Kentucky, I do believe. Shaka Smart is emotional about the team. I mean, you know, he's still winning. He ain't been to the Sweet 16 since VCU. He didn't go to the Sweet 16. He didn't go that far with Texas. I think he won a weekend or two. No, he won a weekend when he's at Texas. He hasn't had a whole lot of success outside of his, you know what I'm saying, BCU run. So, like, this team is special for him. They're rebounding, and that's kind of like was an Achilles for him somewhat in the regular season. But, like, no, man, I like Marquette to win this game, man.
One second here. And then we talked about Purdue-Gonzaga already. I like the Boilermakers to go to the Elite Eight. Creighton and Tennessee is going to be a dogfight, I feel like, John. Just complete dogfight between these two. And it would not shock me if Creighton finds a way. But Tennessee, for Creighton to win, their big three need to be active. And if their big three, or if two of the three put up subpar games, it's a wrap. If one out of the three puts a subpar game together, it's a wrap. They all three got to be clicking if they want to beat this Tennessee squad.
I agree. I think coaching is about even, too.
Yes, for sure. So I like that in there. And, yeah, man, we've got some good ones here. Not chalk, but there's some chalk. Especially,
Brandon, where's that game at?
Detroit.
Ooh,
they're
man,
in the same region as Purdue.
That might be bad for Tennessee.
You think?
You know what I'm saying? I know Creighton is, you know what I'm saying, a little bit, you know what I mean, that way west. But I don't know, man. It might be bad for Tennessee. I know the Boilers is traveling. I didn't already heard people talking about they make the caravan up there from West Lafayette.
Yeah. Well, I hope it's Mackey North this weekend. So
like it was at Gainbridge?
Yeah, yeah. It took them a while to get woken up, but it's,
well, you know what? Unless Brad Stevens is over there coaching Butler, man, they ain't losing no game. Like Purdue, they ain't losing no game in games, man, at all. For real, for real.
Right.
Go ahead, Brad. Mm-hmm.
Coach Cal in Kentucky, John, he's staying. He met with the president of Kentucky to find out what they needed to do and how they needed to go with their program. The one and done's with Kentucky, I feel like, have to be over. They got to get the guys in there to grow them. But I don't know if they can. But I do want to give, you know, just especially when I talk about Kentucky, I want to give Coach Campy and them hell of a run for them. Hell of a run.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. When you talk about Calipari, man, for 16 years, man, I haven't really seen him. I mean, he has the one championship, right? He has a boatload of NBA players that he, quote-unquote, helped get to the NBA, right?
Yeah.
But there's these quirky little things, man, where, like, man, he left his coaching at UMass, or he left his coaching somewhere, like, in the 11-win season he had with New Jersey Nets. Check me on that, if he had 11-win season. No, I think it's 10 or less. But he just kind of depends on the guys to, like, you know, just figure out sometimes. And, you know what I'm saying, he forgets a time. He had timeouts. He had some timeout issues before on big-time games where Kentucky got bounced, man. The Kentucky Athletic Department and its boosters put way too much money in getting said X amount of, you know what I'm saying, 1, 2, 3, 4, how many McDonald's All-Americans do they average, right? Walking through that door, they put X amount of money, you know what I'm saying, keeping those kids coming in rather than, you know, those guys can go to the G League, you know what I'm saying, whatever team, you know, they could be a path for them, or they go to a Duke or Arizona as well, you know what I mean? But, like, so Kentucky expects, well, we paid for it, Cal. You said you could give us, you know what I'm saying, the Patino experience, and they haven't got the Patino experience, like, in multiple times, in multiple years. They haven't even got to the Final Four, and that's unacceptable, man. So I would imagine, even with $13 million, you know what I'm saying, contract buyout over his head, I don't know if it does expire or if it does shrink, as you know what I'm saying, as he gets towards, you know, change in his contract. But I would imagine that's a serious conversation, because that is what keeps Kentucky, you know what I'm saying, like America, right? That's what keeps Kentucky running, is at that basketball program.
Yeah, we'll see with Kentucky what ends up happen there. What kind of route they go now with Coach Cal and them, and we'll
see. You think he'll hit the portal? You think he's gonna be trying to steal other guys? Develop other guys that's already developed.
I think so. They got to go portal route. They got the NIL to use, so
right.
I think they will. On the other side, Michigan hired Dusty May as their head coach.
Yep.
I kept vouching he'd be at Ohio State or Louisville, and Ohio State decided to stick with their own, which I've said, and Ohio State people got pissed that it's a bad choice to hire a coach just after 7 games and think this is going to be your future. Yeah, very weird. But Dusty May, Michigan, I thought it was a great, great, great hire for the Wolverines and for the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, they showed some confidence, Ohio State, just, you know what I'm saying, with that particular coach, man. They had a little run. They got bounced last night versus Georgia in the NIT. Great, great. The tournament, Brandon, has anything surprised you about the tournament?
Surprise me from the tournament. Not really.
Anything. Outside of Oakland, we kind of saw up close and personal. But has anybody in the individual play kind of like surprised you?
I think Illinois Shannon. I think Illinois guards.
Oh, he's awesome.
He would probably be the one. Not surprise me, I guess, but I've been impressed with how he's played in the tournament. But what about you? I don't really have. Edie does what Edie does. I love it. But
I don't have the individual names just yet for this particular team. I will stay for them to be here. That's definitely a good story for people to check out. I'm kind of more surprised by like some of the NIL movement before the tournament ain't ended yet, and like Duke supposedly. I'm like, man, wait a minute, y'all haven't even navigated the tournament. Y'all already picking up dudes,
right?
I think I'm more surprised by that successful teams already. I get why IU would be scrambling to get whatever players, for whatever team. I'll get why, Kentucky, those teams are out of it, trying to figure out, these ain't rumor conversations anymore. These are actually like they're talking to, this kid who used to go to LSU, the average four, whatever. You see what I'm saying? I guess it's surprised that Peyton Parsons back to Ball State. I guess I can say that.
That's so.
I
hate that. I hate it.
Why is that, Brandon?
Because
it's cool.
Giving a guy a free chance to go somewhere after he's already transferred. You didn't like it there to begin with, so you wanted to leave. And the fact you didn't get no damn playing time, that you're just going to – and I hate the fact that Ball State's opening his arms. Come back, Peyton. No, I say screw you, dude. You left us hanging. He had a bad year.
Yeah, he did.
You chose to leave us. Screw you. And I hate that Mike Lewis brought him back. It sets a cold standard.
Yeah, kind of like this is a revolving door. You can come back.
Hey.
Type situation, man. I think a lot of times guys are going to find out that if you did play, if you were a maximum usage player at a mid-major level, and and there were kind of quirks, you might not necessarily be that same max level player when you go to the quote unquote bigger conference, bigger school. You know what I mean? I kind of just worry about, our neighbors, the Sycamores, man, how kind of that team is going to get pillaged and picked. But, Brandon, the rumor on the street is they offered him $100,000. Ball State couldn't match it. So that's kind of the reason why he went to IU. But I get the feeling, of the revolving door. That's something that teams, because Ball State's done that before. They did it with the Coleman kid as well. And then he transferred. He used it last year. He went to Missouri. Back to Missouri. No, he didn't. He was just drafted. So it is. I mean, college basketball is turning into, I hate to say, a minor league NBA somewhat, man, because just because of, I guess, man, you know, I don't know. Just the familiarity, like nobody wants to be left without anything. And I guess that's why they let him back in.
Yeah. I don't know. I hated the fact that they let him come back. So to me, it sets a bad standard. And then they need to figure out something. So it's free agency, dude. Every year by year, line jumpers. And here's my other thing. They should not be allowed to do any movement until all the teams are done.
Right.
Because I feel like
the season's done, right.
Yeah, it puts everybody else in a bad situation, right? Like you're getting hosed because you're not in the tournament, and you know it's crazy to me. So I don't like it.
Well, here's also the thing, though, Brad. I thought different level of conversation. That kid that decommitted, his name is Liam McNeely. I thought it was kind of like bad timing. I know he might have had different feelings about coach and the program direction. I don't know how much the NIL was, but, like, I haven't heard his name being, or, you know what I'm saying, nobody's, like, you know what I mean? He's an Indiana All-Star. Correct me if I'm wrong?
Yeah, I haven't heard his name anywhere else.
I haven't heard his name tied to anywhere. I kind of thought that was peculiar. It was one, I'll go back to timing. So if he knew he was the only, and he didn't know he was the only lone, you know what I'm saying, recruit that they had for how long? You see what I'm saying? So anybody else who was thinking about giving him any type of scholarship or any type of NIL deal, like all that's probably gone now. Now everybody's looking for either older players,
right,
established players. You see what I'm saying? They ain't looking for you no more, because like you know you pulled a run up on IU. I don't know, man. I just thought you know I haven't heard his name tied to anybody.
Yeah, totally agree. Speaking of Indiana, Clearwell decided he's going to opt out all the pros, and Gabe Cupps is going to stay with Indiana. I kind of like the Cupps. I do. I think he can grow as a freshman, you know, get a little more potential with him there. IU needs it, obviously, with the amount of players that they do not have, but Ware did not have him to go pro.
If you were talking about somebody who's going to make impact, like on the rookie, man, he's going to be how many games do you think we should do that right now? How many over under games he's going to play in the G League if he gets drafted by the Madden? You know what I'm saying? You can see the potential in what he could be when he turns like 26, but we are very far off from that, and he hasn't played high level enough basketball. I found the Big Ten and a half a season in the Pac-12 when he played for Oregon. So I'm like, man. It would be he wasn't on my lottery radar at all. So you talking about a kid that's probably going to be somewhere in the bottom 20.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense. Louisville hired their guy. Allegedly today, they've got a guy from Charleston, which I think that's a hire.
It's kind of I don't know, man.
I don't know. Commonwealth down there is going to be too happy with that.
If he wins and he can recruit, then he wins. But like
Kelsey,
you know,
Pat Kelsey, 5-year deal.
They're gonna have to give that program time. He's been used to dealing with like mid-major. You know what I'm saying? That level. And, you might be able to roll them out there, recruit all that. But there's other things you got to kind of deal with when you quote, you know what I'm saying, when you're doable. So,
Josh Hurd, their athletic director, who fired Kenny Payne, first pursued Scott Drew from Baylor. He said, I'm going to stay there in Waco. Then he went after Dusty May, who ultimately chose Michigan instead of Louisville. I think that's... Would you say that's a better choice than Louisville taking the Michigan job? Or because somebody asked me that today, and I said, I don't know.
They're kind of even, Brandon, to be honest.
Yeah, they are.
Who's in the more stable comp? That's what I look at right now. Right now, the Big Ten is the more stable conference. Where Louisville's in the ACC, we got teams suing one another, suing the people who helped them because they're pissy at the TV contract, you know what I'm saying, on the football tip. So, but, like, nah, man, you can't just be turning down Louisville, though, man. That's a team that, like, still, regardless of that, that might not be your business. The basketball team and the football team bring in simultaneously, you know what I'm saying, pretty good ticket money. So, you know, you would think that at more fact, you mean, but, like I said, maybe Dusty looked at the conference and thought he could be successful that way.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. The NIT, John. We got a number of different ways we can go on this. We can talk about how great Indiana State played last night, knocked off Cincinnati. Georgia goes into Ohio State and upsets Ohio State. So we got Georgia and Indiana State, two teams coming. We've got Seton Hall and UNLV playing currently as we speak, and then Utah and VCU tonight for the final. The fourth team is Indiana State, magical run. Love to see it. 31-6 now for the Sycamores coming here.
Man, you got to say it's a magical run when teams that would never play them, you know what I'm saying, on a home at home or you know what I'm saying on a neutral court, have to play them in the NIT. To beat the two big team teams, beat Minnesota, beat Iowa, beat SMU. You know what I'm saying, which I get it. You know what I'm saying, nobody's gonna be like, oh man, they beat it. You know, who cares? Like, you know what I'm saying, but like these are established programs that we're fighting. You know what I'm saying, either in the Big Ten or ACC to get into the tournament, just like Indiana State was. Indiana State just is a crown champion that the tournament committee decides to leave out. But you got to take, I tip my hat to that portion of, like, the you know what I'm saying, who they beat and how far they gone. Cincinnati, dude, I thought Cincinnati had that number. Little Edwin James subs out there bouncing and hitting mid-range jumpers, you know what I'm saying? And they, you know what I'm saying, Cincinnati's keeping on all cylinders, hitting free throws. But, like, no, man, Indiana State last night turned to a different gear, man, fed off the crowd, fed off, you know what I'm saying, what's they called, Larry Nerd. Robbie Avila, they call him Larry Nerd. They call him all. He got all kind of code names, man. But no, great win. And they come into the Circle City to play at Hinkle. Yeah. I mean, that's incredible, man. You know what I'm saying? That's not the Final Four, but they're coming to the Circle Center. They're coming to the Circle City to play at Hinkle, another quality opponent to see if they can, you know what I'm saying, at least have some type of bragging rights, you know what I'm saying, postseason bragging rights.
Absolutely. Great team, great momentum, awesome story. Coming to Hinkle, history there, playing at historical Hinkle Fieldhouse, the NIT. If you just had a lot more coverage of the NIT tournament is my thing. And if you had people that actually cared about the NIT as much as some people do, and the fact that the NIT people want to put these games on, why would you have these semifinals and quarterfinals games on Saturday and Sunday when you've got the main tournament going? Why wouldn't you want to do it like on a Monday or whatnot? Like, it just, you butted it up against the NCAA tournament and you didn't have very many eyes. Now, last night's games had all the eyes because there was no other viewing TV on. The NIT needs as much love as they can get from people, especially when Crossroads Sports is trying to give that love to it.
Right, and especially when the main tournament is talking about expanding. You know what I'm saying? If the main tournament expands, then that would mean that Indiana State, Iowa, Minnesota, you know, Cincinnati, they would have got in, and this magical run becomes potentially a little shorter because then, you know what I'm saying, you know what happens. Brandon, let's say they add Indiana State and Seton Hall and Cincinnati into the tournament, right? There's a couple more teams, right? They automatically put them against who? Purdue. They automatically put them against who? UConn. They automatically put them against who? Somebody that knows they're going to get sauced up. At least with this type of tournament, secondary tournament, it's still Division I basketball. Am I correct, right? Stop me when I'm lying. It's still Division I basketball. It's still dudes trying to get better. It's still dudes trying to get to the league. It's still dudes trying to say, hey, man, if I can put up 24 in this NIT, guess what? IU might call me. Because this little beard McNeely turned off his NIL, I'll take it to another level. for them. You see what I'm saying? Those, that's just what's happening right now here with the NIT, and like I said, and especially Indiana State. Brandon, I want the mid-major schools like Ball State and Indiana State to take out loans so they can keep their coaches.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because the homie Jason, listen, the homie, Church, he's making $300,000 right now, and this team's out here dangling $2, $3 million in front of him.
Yeah.
And if they can retain him, then, you know, maybe the players can retain, and then you can feel like, man, this is a good story. It's a magical run. And excuse me, I couldn't be happier for the guys to play on that court and that team and that coaching staff, man. I'm clapping for them. I'm glad they got to this point. I still hope they win.
I mean, you're a proud tree parent, aren't you?
Yeah, my daughter attends Indiana State. She was on the dean's list. She's a freshman. He's on the dean list, man, and like I don't know. Just like if you win a championship, does the tuition go down?
It should.
Tuition should go down, but like no, all the things that kind of come with being at a championship school. You know what I'm saying? Your school gets on the news. You know what I'm saying? You got those dudes. You know what I'm saying? To take off the shirt, spell Indiana State. You know what I'm saying? And on their belly, man. All those things are kind of all the cool things about college, and then. You might get a commemorative, like a banner or a statue or something like that, or you know what I'm saying, somebody might come in and sign an autograph and be like, nah, man, it's the coolest thing that's happened. And they had two sellouts back to back at the Holman Center, man. So man, no, man, great things happened for Indiana State this past year, man. Like I said, I salute it.
Give me 1 second, I'm looking up something, is it?
Okay, cool.
Draymond Green's been ejected already, and it was 3 minutes into the ball game, and Steph Curry was not happy with him. 3 minutes into the game.
How is he doing, Brandon? Draymond Green got an AT&T commercial? I couldn't believe it. Or something.
Steph is visually pissed off and frustrated, apparently, is what I'm reading.
Well, that's too bad. Sorry, Steph.
Jesus. Well, I mean, that's 25-10. They're beating the Magic. Real quick, before we go to the NBA, what's your thoughts on the Big Three and Ice Cube trying to offer Caitlin Clark $5 million?
Man, I thought you were going to talk about. I thought you were talking about Kim Mulkey and Angel Reese's new single. They got and them still the New York Post, man. No, man, that's just some succession news, man. Get Caitlin Clark. If he got the $5 million, man, then he'd have to give her all the money and who she's going to be playing against. You know what I mean? That's just some successes, man. She's not coming there. They got her money set up to play for the Fever next year. It's going to be a good thing, man. You know what I mean? She's a multimedia star already in the making. They got murals of Caitlin Clark already here in the Circle Center. Circle City.
Oh, wow.
Right, they do. But, like, no, man. Caitlin Clark, you know what I'm saying? It was kind of cool. It was kind of funny, right, at the same time. She heard her dad this past weekend, and they was riding somebody. I can't even remember where they were riding.
Yeah.
Oklahoma played Indiana. But they was riding somebody, and she was bitching. Caitlin Clark was bitching about the calls from the referee. And that's another thing, Brandon. You got to respect the refs. Don't be cuffing out the refs, y'all. But like, nah, her dad was telling her, you know, saying, get in the game, like, get your head in the game and quit clowning. So that, I thought that was kind of cool. But like, no, man. But like, no, man, we got to respect these refs out here, man. I know they everything ain't perfect, man, but these ladies out here cussing out refs, man, it's crazy.
I know, right? I'm ready for this Washington Post article so I can see what's up with Mulkey, what all comes out of this.
Kim Mulkey was like, if they report anything, I'm going to sue the Washington Post.
I love Kim Mulkey. I love Kim Mulkey. I will never say a bad thing about her. Never.
I like what LSU. Well, as long as it doesn't get like where people don't get hurt, like you know what I'm saying, anything like that. But I like the back talk. I like the trash talk after the game. Angel Reese telling little ladies bye bye. You know what I'm saying?
I'm
all for it. I'm all for it because she knows she's gonna get it back though too. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Is she fine with that?
Yeah, she's fine with that. She's fine with it. Yeah. She stands on business.
John, we got NBA, Pacers. Pacers at the Bulls tonight. They went 3-1 so far on the road trip. I'm happy with the road trip performance. You beat the Warriors. You lost to the Lakers, where you probably should have came back. You were down big in that game. And then you won the next night against Clippers. So I appreciate that. I like that.
Yeah. What was the one game when Miles Turner became the all-time?
That was the Warriors game.
That was the Warriors game?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But Miles Turner, man, that's a big time accomplishment. I know people, you know what I'm saying, in this age and time, they kind of celebrate the points and we kind of forget about rebounds and blocks. But for him to become an all-time anything in a Pacers uniform shows the belief in his own game and to get better, but also the belief in the Pacers and him and putting him in position, man. I know a lot of times, here on the Crossroads Sports Show, I know me and Brandon Reed in years past, man, I was like, man, trade him, get rid of him, man. Like, that's easier said than done because Miles Turner, though he might not be a multi-time all-star or multi-time defensive player or whatever, you know what I'm saying? He is a good player. It's just like he's got to, you know, it's like 3 more inches, man, he'd be an all-star, right? You know what I'm saying? But, like, you know what I'm saying? Who wouldn't want to have Miles Turner on their team, man? And I, like I said, I think it's a great accomplishment that needed to be. I know I saw it just like a blink on Twitter, man, but I just wanted to kind of call it out. You know what I'm saying? Miles Turner become, like I said, all-time shot blocker in Pacers history.
Incredible achievement by him, so shout out to him. John, we've got 9 games left. 6th seed we're currently right now for Indiana.
Man, up and down.
Right, we hit the over that we needed for our bet. We're over 39.5 wins. We're 41-32. Okay. You're a game back of 2 games back. Sorry, of Orlando, and Orlando is currently losing to the Warriors. The Knicks are starting to get healthy. They won 2 in a row. I don't know if we can catch New York. We're 3 back of them and 3 back of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. But if we get the 5, we would play New York. I'd probably like that.
Mm-hmm.
5. If we can play them, because I don't want us to drop back where Miami and Philly, and they think they're getting Embiid back, so Philly's going to be on a march here soon.
Right. And like I said, just a little bit of a tougher matchup. As much as I pray that this game, Miles Turner, just a tough matchup for him. I kind of also want the Pacers to kind of stay away from Orlando. They haven't had a whole lot of great success against the Orlando Magic. It would be a lifelong dream if they could, you know what I'm saying, slide up to 5 and play the Knicks. If they could solidify 6, is the Bucks still sitting at 3? Solid?
2. They're 2.
They're sitting at 2. But that would be, I mean, I know they can't get, I mean, you don't want to drop all the way back down to 7 on purpose. But like that's another matchup they kind of favor, even though they have Giannis, who's kind of like had like 45, you know what I'm saying, and crazy 45-plus point games against the Pacers. The Pacers in recent history have shown that they can, you know what I'm saying, keep match any playing that the Bucks got. So, like, nah, man, stay in the 5-6, man, and just kind of make sure that you lock up some games here at home, man. Pacers, you know what I'm saying, they should be fine. But I get what you're saying. Long, you know what I'm saying? Miami turns into another animal. You don't want to be, you know what I'm saying, in front of that animal when it turns. So, yeah.
I wanted to ask
Miami Heat team. Yeah.
Where do you rank in the players this year, take away injuries? Where do you rank Jason Tatum?
Shouldn't he be? He might not necessarily be in.
I've got him at 8.
I was going. At one point, he was. I thought in early part of the season he was an MVP conversation. But it kind of. I'm not saying he fizzled tremendously off, but it hasn't necessarily been. It's more so being more so the team and not necessarily just him, which is good because they try to win a championship. And it just can't just be you, Jason. It's got to be everybody. It's got to be Porzingis. It's got to be Pritchard. It's got to be Brown. It's got to be everybody, right?
Right.
But you put him in. I would put him a little bit higher than 8 over as a player. He might not have the razzle dazzle passes that Luka Doncic has, or you know what I'm saying. But I think he's right up there. I would probably put him in the top 4 or 5.
Let me tell you,
Go ahead.
I'll just name players that I rank over him. Jokic.
Hell yeah, put LeBron off there. Over Jason Tatum?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Giannis. Steph Curry.
Okay.
Luka.
I don't know about that one, Brandon.
Luka.
I don't know about that one, Brandon. I'll put them in the same lane.
LeBron James.
Come on, man. LeBron's a death machine.
I don't care. I'm giving you a number.
I got you.
This might these next two may. I still say Joel Embiid, a healthy Joel Embiid.
Okay.
And here's the one that puts me at seven, just before Tatum. And I hate to do it with this guy, but I got to. Kevin Durant.
There's no way.
I'm not talking about just this year, John. Remember I said that. No injuries, no nothing. I'm taking where they're at right now.
Not you take Kevin Durant, who ain't going to ever win another championship. You would take him over Jason Tatum. Not right now. Not last year.
No, you're
right. Yeah, now you got your Jason Tatum.
Okay, so Tatum's a seven then, not eight. So.
There we go. Give him respect.
Yeah, my hate for Durant right now is just way high until – I'm surprised he hasn't blocked me on Twitter yet. I feel like that's got to be coming.
They lost the other night versus San Antonio. No win beyond.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out which referee was it. Trying to figure out which referee ejected him tonight. Oh, 8:24 left in the first quarter. See you, Draymond. I want to talk, we've talked NBA, John. I want to thank our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. I want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports. Without both of you guys, we would not be able to do what we do. We are in season number 7, episode 294, myself and Jonathan Birdsong. JB, the NFL has approved massive revamped kickoff play. It passed 29 votes to 3. I reviewed it today. I like how the XFL did it. I'm okay with it. I am, I think.
I don't know, Brandon. It's a trade-off. This is the trade-off for the 17 game. The science says, all right, man, yeah, the more football you play, you're going to get hurt. So they took away the kickoff. It's over. You know what I'm saying?
Nah,
I guess unless somebody drops the ball. But like, why would
John, you're too far away from your mic. Too far away.
How is it going to be? This is going to be a fair catch every time. Why would I send all my guys down there to run crazy?
No, John. Have you not seen how they're doing it?
They can't. So like the guy, nobody can rush to catch the ball.
Right, but they're only going to be 10 yards apart from each other. The defensive line and the offensive line are going to be 10 yards apart. Once it either touches the ground or the defender, it's free game. So I kind of like it. I've seen it in the XFL this year. I kind of like it. I do.
Yeah, I didn't watch that XFL situation. So, okay, I'll take your word for it. The players seem a little bit more annoyed by the hip tackle.
Yeah, that's going to be a fucking pain in the ass. I'll tell you that right now.
Because you're going to get officiated, like, out the ear.
Oh, yeah. You know how many times I'm going to tweet that was a hip tackle for the sport?
Absolutely.
It's bound to happen. So, what's your thoughts on they're going to allow the third challenge. After one successful challenge, you automatically get a third challenge now.
I'm fine with it. We don't need any more games, and we need less international games. Less international games.
Are you okay with two Christmas games on a Wednesday? Because apparently it's
coming. That's a little bogus. That's going to be a little weird. You in the NBA's back pocket.
Right.
You in the NBA's back pocket. It's going to be a little weird, man. So we'll see.
One of my favorites, John. Tomorrow's opening day. Major League Baseball, opening day, John. I've never been more excited. The problem is, John, the day games, a lot of them are going to be rained out, man. We're going to have rainouts. And the Baltimore game going to be rained out. The Mets game going to be rained out. There's the Phillies game rained out. They've already postponed two games already for tomorrow. My Reds play 4 o'clock against Washington in Cincinnati. So we have that game. But I'm looking forward to Major League Baseball, seeing how my Reds can do. They did make some moves this past offseason, so I'm really to see. Aaron Boone's going to have a fire under his ass, John, once again, with this Yankees team. They got to get it. And the Dodgers keep spending money, man. They just extended Will Smith $140 million extension for 10 years, their catcher, today.
You said the Dodgers spending money. They ain't
released no statement. Are they cheap?
They ain't released no statement on Ohtani. They haven't said a word about Ohtani. Ohtani's been defending himself through another interpreter that he said, about another interpreter who got wired, $4 million, $4.5 million that they said he stole. But the way this story is shaking out, man, Shohei Ohtani, I know I jacked up his name, sorry, but sound like he placed a bet. And the way Major League Baseball, the NBA, and now, before I came on, press time said that college, like, these prop bets, like that's betting. There should be no betting. Like, if you play sports, I know it's going to sound unfair, you can't bet, Brandon. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what the athlete is saying? I didn't bet on the outcome. I didn't bet if we were going to win or lose. I just bet on myself saying I know I'm going to play 10 minutes. With this kid.
Rose rolling over his grave, man.
Right. He actually bet on games, won, lost. Here, these people are betting on if you get three cracks at the bat or whatever, a pop-out fly, which is like actual bets now. You can't bet anymore if you're an athlete because it's going to mess with the integrity of the game or have people think it's going to mess with the integrity of the game.
Yeah, I agree. The Ohtani situation is nuts. And I don't know, Major League Baseball's got to figure out something with this because it's not good any way you look at it with that. I don't know. I don't know who you believe. Do you believe Ohtani? I don't know if I do, but it's his friend. It's his only guy he talks to. I don't know, John. I want to believe the dude, but maybe he's got some shady.
If somebody stole something from you, then you would have said, hey, I'm going to report this to whoever, banking officials who would have got the FBI or involved in it. This guy, this didn't get reported as a crime. They got reported that he's going to pay me back.
We'll see. It's definitely going to do, it's going to be interesting for what comes out of it. Other Major League Baseballs, John, let's see. I've got it right now. Opening day tomorrow. We've got some games around the league. We've got, like I said, Reds, Nationals, Angels, and Orioles. I think Orioles are going to have another great year. Last year they were a surprise for how they did. I think they'll have another great season. Looking forward to seeing them. And the Rangers title defense, they play at ESPN against the Cubbies tomorrow night. So that'll be great to see how they do with them there. But John, Major League Baseball, we didn't give a lot of talk last year about Major League Baseball as much. We're going to try to make it a focal point this year to include baseball a little bit more.
Fans controversy, but they're pretty out there with the Dodger fans. And yeah, man, I guarantee you we'll have more Cubs talk, I promise.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. John, you got anything else, my man? I know we covered a lot of stuff during our lives that we did this past weekend, so it kind of made for a little bit of a light show tonight.
Yeah, no, I thought the homie D-Cop was going to call and the homie Reggie's back. I thought the show, but like they smooth their move. Or they might be, you know what I'm saying, watching some games that they don't have stuff. But like, no, man, it's been a great show. I know, well, we've got a little bit of an announcement. We do also have a new sponsor.
Yeah, it's
kind of jumped on board with us, man. Thomas and Reed, certified public accountant here in the city of Indianapolis, believe, you know what I'm saying, in the Crossroads, you know what I'm saying, listen to our show from time to time, and they believe, you know what I'm saying, in some of the things that we were saying. And they reached out to me about the advertising opportunities, and here we go, man. So new, you'll be seeing more, you know what I'm saying, if you follow our story, if you follow us, on our socials, you'll be seeing more advertisement about Thomas and Reed, certified public accounting. Don't necessarily just go, if you are, looking for an accountant, it's not necessarily, they do, easy taxes or anything like that, but, big business taxes, large accounts. But like we'll get some more information around. We'll shoot an official commercial, those type of things, man, around it. But, for those people who look, we know about Scott Kingniffle State Farm Insurance, and we know about America's Custom Motorsports, but who is this? It's just a new sponsor for us, like I said, Thomas and Reed, certified. If you are looking for any type of accounting services, man, before we even get the commercials and stuff out, feel free to reach out to them, for sure.
For sure. Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Like I said, we'll be having more live videos. We'll have more videos. I know my videos got a lot of pub the last couple of weeks, so I'll continue to do those.
Oh, man. Y'all, Brandon crashed out on Purdue and guarantee certain things. Y'all should check that on Instagram. He also got a lot of heat, which is good heat. I'm proud of him. The Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, y'all should check that out. Did anybody come up for your throat about anything particular, Brandon? I know you had some heat a while back with the Temple.
The only thing I had heat on was my rankings for Sweet 16 with San Diego State fans being pissed off. I had them below Gonzaga.
San Diego State, they probably feel, like I said, Brandon, they made it to the Final Four last year.
Right.
But I get it,
We do have a caller for you.
Okay.
Let's bring
him
on. What's going on, D-Cot?
Hey, fellas, what's going on, man? Hey, sorry for the delay, man. I'm running around like a chicken with my head.
You got lucky. You're about to go off the air.
So, I'm going to be quick. Pacer talk, most important right now. 9 games to go, Chicago tonight. You cannot lose any – they can't lose any games to East opponents. Because I'm thinking 6-3 at worst, those need to be West Coast teams. You don't want to lose any, but you got Miami coming in. Obviously, you got New Jersey Nets coming back again. You got Atlanta coming, and you also got Atlanta, Miami, New Jersey, and you got OKC and the Lakers. So of those games, man, you only can lose one of those home games, and it can't be to an East Coast team. So. Is Neesmith playing or is he still hurt?
He was questionable for tonight, is what I heard.
Well, McConnell's been playing real well.
Really well, for sure. I just think they got, Chicago's that team that kind of always gives them hell when they play, no matter how good or bad they are. But they got a good little payback for 2 weeks ago, man, for what happened, that last homestand. So I'm looking forward
They got a little unlocked Jarris Walker offensively
on this
road.
Yeah, you saw that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I also like the fact that Ben had his first start, Ben Shepherd. I don't think that the moment's too big for him, man. He seems like a cool, calm customer, man.
I think it is sometimes, man,
He's not a required guy, right? He's your sixth guy, so that's why I feel like he doesn't have a lot of heat on him. Hit a couple shots, man, and where he's going to make his money at this season is on the defensive end because he's long and he's obviously a lot more potent defender than Buddy was when he was here. No knock on Buddy, but he's a much better defender. So that's why I think he makes his money, not so much from an offensive perspective. Get on the floor, dive, and create a little bit of havoc and get out on the court. And when you got him, and when you got an open layup or you got an open corner three, knock it down. That's right. That's kind of how I see it for him.
I was pleased outside of the Lakers game, man. How could you not be pleased with, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, before you came out, I talked a little bit about Miles, you know what I'm saying, getting on the Pacers all time, you know what I'm saying, list. And
love it.
They beat the Clippers.
Love it.
When, you know what I'm saying, somebody,
and,
you know,
and Paul George
kind of automatically think, yeah, the people automatically thought they was on Wilt out there, man. So
That shows some resolve, man. So now we'll see what happens. You know, we got them Clippers two nights ago. You're back in the Midwest. A little bit, you know, time zone is not as impactful. You got to come out and establish yourself early. The way Pascal's been playing, man, and the way, obviously, TH has been playing or not been playing, I say we got to start kind of veering that offense towards Pascal, man, because I'm going to tell you, he's not KD shooting 25-foot three-pointers, man. But, man, he's been very impactful, man, the last four or five games, man. I'm very impressed with what he's done.
Does any matchup, so, like, Pacers sitting at six right now, is any matchup as far as, like, a playoff, what you would like?
Oh,
I mean, you know, you don't ever want to, like, duck competition, but, like, any matchup, like, you
right.
find favorable for them.
Oh, man, absolutely. I absolutely want to see Cleveland. Because I got a feeling Cleveland.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Because
you're talking about 6-3, right? You're talking about 6-3 matchup. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at 5-4, you're talking about the Knicks or you're talking about Orlando. And those two teams, granted, we beat both of them the last time we played them. I just don't like that matchup. I'm more comfortable with Cleveland.
Orlando, yeah.
Yeah, I'm more comfortable with Cleveland just because I think the kid from Louisville, I think Donovan Mitchell, the nose thing, I think it's more severe than they're letting on. And
yeah,
we let one get away.
So
yeah, we let one get away, man, when they were here the other time. And I think there's a little bit of payback. So I would love to be solid in that sixth spot and play Cleveland versus the Knicks or Orlando. And the reason why I want the Knicks are starting to get healthy, right? And the way Devin Chincho is playing, along with
they like Villanova. They out there like real Villanova.
yeah. So not the I believe the Pacers could beat, you know, both of those, Knicks or Cleveland, but I just think it's a better fit for us to play Cleveland versus the Knicks. And in Orlando, I got a feeling, man, if you look at their schedule, Orlando's got a tough schedule. They may drop. They might wind up being the sixth if you take a look. So we got nine games to go. At worst, 6-3, man. But I would expect, you know, 7-2 at the Pacers of the team that we talked about when we made the trade, right? And we talked about maybe a three seed.
7-2. That'd be crazy. Yeah.
The other thing is, a lot of people don't know, man, that first round pick. If we are the LeBron playing team, the 7-10 or whatever, that goes to Toronto, and that's going to be a lottery pick. So if you're in the LeBron play-in game, that's a lottery pick. So we got to make sure that I know we gave him three number ones, but I don't want the number one to be a top 14 pick. I want it to be a 20 something.
Right.
So
there's a lot in play right there. That's why, you know, 6-3 at worst, man. 7-2 is the expectation, and it starts tonight.
Hey, man, B-Cop, before we get off this phone, before we let you go, man, you know they're building the I tell you too, Brandon, but I'm just picking on him. You know they're building the casino in between here and Terre Haute.
Mean the one that opens April 5th? You mean the one that opens up April 5th at 10 a.m. that me and Reggie may be going to on Friday? Is that the one you're talking about? Yeah.
Get some of that money up there at Terre Haute. They might be able to keep a coach up there, man, one time.
But here's the thing. Here's the difference, man. He lives 40 minutes from there. I'm an hour and 40 minutes from there.
Oh, man.
Because he's in Plainfield. Yeah, he's in Plainfield.
Okay, I got
Hey, how was the cookout over his place? Didn't you go to his place for dinner?
Yeah, man, we went over there. I went over there to hang out because he's got some yard stuff, man, that I was interested in. It was pretty good, but you know what's crazy, right? Me and his brother-in-law were giving him hell because he got that pellet grill, and we were saying that's not real grilling, right? So we had some fun with that, man. And I'm saying, you know, I give Reggie a lot of hell, but he's a good host, man. And no matter what the bad things I say about him, he's a pretty decent dude, man. Granted, he can't cook to save his life. I mean, that's a fact. He's basically the Washington Generals, and I'm the Harlem Globetrotters when it comes to cooking.
Damn.
Oh wow.
So I'll give you this. Man, he's got a stocked bar, man. I'm telling you what, we gotta get some offline, man. And we all gotta go out there. Hey, if you need the nice stuff, hey, he's got it.
He's out there like David Koresh, huh? He's out there like Waco, Texas.
Here's the reason why he's got so much of it is because he cooks so terribly.
Yeah,
he wants you to be tipsy, so you can't taste food anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So you can tell him I said that, but no, really. But yeah, it was a good time hanging out, man. We're talking about our Pacers. That was the night we beat Orlando. So yeah. So it was a good time. We'll do it again because I'm gonna probably be doing something in the next couple weekends and have him come through, man. So I have an announcement I'll be making the next week on the call. I don't want to do it right now, but I want to make an announcement for next week.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yeah. So yeah. Teaser. So right. little teaser. Yes, sir.
All right.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, well,
all right.
And last thing, I'm on my way to go pick my cousin up for work, man. You know, family first, right? So
yeah.
Take care of him. I'm going to get a chance to watch the Pacer game a little bit. We got to start off strong and put our foot on their neck, man. And that damn Kobe, whatever his name is in North Carolina, man, that dude's a player. Kobe White.
Hey, who's your baseball team? You have an MLB team?
My mom's teams was the Yankees. It's funny. My mom was a Yankee. My dad was a Cubs. When I was growing up, it was the Cincinnati, the Big Red Machine. They hated Cincinnati, and the next team, my mom was a Yankee. So I started liking Reggie Jackson, Lou Piniella, Craig Nettles, and those guys. So that just kind of grew that way. None of the Chicago teams, and definitely not Cincinnati for sure.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
Worked up.
Yeah. So, all right. It was crazy, man. It was crazy. But we'll talk more about that next week. I'll catch up with you guys. I know you got to go. Thanks for letting me in for a couple of minutes anyway, fellas.
Sounds good.
Absolutely, man.
All right, y'all. Be safe, fellas.
Yep.
All right, John. That's our guy, D-Cott. Anything else, my man? By the way, when they announced that the NFL kickoff change rule happened, less than 3 hours later, the Steelers signed Cordell Patterson. So I like that. That was good. So.
Yeah, Steelers having a good offseason, man.
We are. Getting my hopes up. Hey, man, I told your boys at the Epic Podcast, man, I said they want some real college basketball knowledge and they need to bring me on, man. And then they said we're going to be
doing. Tell them don't go for Purdue?
No. I said you were loving yourselves a little bit too much, Marquette. So I had to put calm you down a little bit there. A little too much love.
Well, they heavy, on NBA, and my mind don't work like that. I'm like college and NBA. Like I look at them differently, but I watch them at the same speed. But they don't watch college basketball, man. So they need a little navigation through the college tournament. But we posted mind meld again, man, on the draft, man, because you know. They follow the North, the AFC North pretty heavy. And there's a couple 49ers. The one homie, he chops up the 49ers pretty hard too, man. So,
right.
Yeah, we'll be doing some stuff with them the closer we get to the draft. Sound like in the draft, Keller Williams is going to be number one. Haven't heard anything else different. Like when you go down a little bit further, 2-5 is kind of like a question mark. I haven't necessarily put out my first mock. No, shame on me. I haven't put out my own mock per se, but I think it's going to be some haggling. I think Minnesota's going to try to move up into top five. you know what I'm saying, to try to get. And I just can't, because the way they said it right now, Brandon, I can't see Marvin Harrison Jr. just falling all the way to five and just end up playing for Jim Harbaugh. You know what I'm saying? That just be, like, unfair, man. So
can I ask you a question?
You know, go ahead.
So there's breaking news that SMU has hired their new head coach for basketball. SMU, right? They've got a little bit of a tradition, a little bit of history, right? So they've hired Andy Enfield, who's at Southern Cal, USC. He's third all time on wins at Southern Cal. They've won 21 games, 7 his last 11. He's leaving SoCal, USC, for SMU.
Man, what you missing is what's
he doesn't want to stay in the Big Ten, right? The Big Ten.
Yeah. What's going to change when USC has to play more Big Ten schools than they are playing West Coast schools? A lot of losses,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So that would be the thought process right there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying right now there's a lot of fluffiness going out there and out there in California and, you know what I'm saying, on that side, you know what I'm saying, but we know that the power of schools, Indiana, any, you know what I'm saying, whether it's, you know, men or females, that's a good school, you know what I mean? The majority of the good schools are out east, and the further you go out east, and USC playing in the Big Ten, like, you're going to have to play an eastern schedule, and it's going to be hard for them.
Yep, absolutely. So, all right, John, anything else, my man? If not, you can do our final wrap.
No, man, I think we had a great show, man. I just want to say thanks to DCOP for chiming in. I know we've had a lot of folks, you know what I'm saying, kind of, you know what I'm saying, chime in on the Facebook Live as well, man. If you haven't, and you heard me and Brandon's show, and this is your first time, second time, whatever time, and you haven't, you know what I'm saying, necessarily, you know, say follow us on Facebook or Twitter, you know, so, or Instagram, or it's not even Twitter anymore, it's X, right? If you haven't done so, do so. You can follow Brandon Reef, right? Or you can follow Brandon Reef at any of those social media. You follow me, John Traverso, on any of those. I'm also on X as Three Foolish Men. But like, no, man, follow us, man, because the story and the sports coverage does not stop here at all, man. I don't really have too much to say, Brandon, man. We got a new sponsor, man. I want to say thanks to them as well, Thomas and Reed, Certified Public Accountant. I want to say thanks. Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. I want to say thanks to Maverick Custom Motorsports as well. Again, outside of that, me and Brandon Reed, this has been episode number 294. We're going to try to do episode number 295 next week, bigger and better than ever, man. Y'all stay tuned. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to Crossroads Sports, man.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.